The Morristown Green, a central park echoing with the footfalls of Washington and his compatriots during the Revolutionary War, is not merely a serene escape, but a living testament to the town's pivotal role in shaping our nation. Morristown's history seamlessly intertwines with every individual who grew up there, creating a childhood rich in the echoes of the past and a vibrant spirit of community carried forward by each successive generation. These are their stories. This is Beyond the Green.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Green, where we talk about the people and places of Morristown. By now, you should already know I am Peter, Morristown class of 1990, and this furry guy over here is...
And I'm Satiri, or Terry, Morristown class of 1987.
So, first of all, I can't believe that it is already April already.
Sure is.
Our last two episodes were fantastic. We got a lot of great feedback on them, both on both Jill and Luke as well. Just the feedback on them has been immense. And we really appreciate all of you continuing to give us your feedback on all the episodes that we do. Talking about April, Monday is tax day. Did you do your taxes?
No.
What do you mean no? What are you talking about?
I gotta take.
What do you mean?
I'm taking the
extension
route.
Dude, look at the time. What?
I'm taking the extension route. Yeah, I gotta take the extension route. I actually kind of forgot about it because I had other stuff going on. But yeah, as weird as that sounds.
Listen, we took ours in like probably beginning of March, right? And the guy's a couple times, but he mails them to us. So like maybe like a week ago, the envelope comes.
Oh yeah.
So I'm like, it's like Christmas morning. So the front cover, so you get the front cover page, right. And on it, it is the front cover page is the bill. So
right.
I don't care about the bill.
Take the bill. Right.
And then he has separated by federal and state.
Right.
So you got to look, you pull it off federal. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
And then right, let me flip to the state. Oh.
Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if daddy's going to be allowed to get a new pair of shoes on this or not. Yeah. But we'll see. But the thing is, Monday is – like I said, is April 15th, which is also kind of bring things full circle here, is Patriots Day in Massachusetts.
Yes, it is.
Patriots Day is commemorates the beginning of the American Revolution. So which kind of brings us to what we talk about here on Beyond the Green. But it is also the Boston Marathon. So the same day. But it just – kind of questions like, why a marathon? Why? And I get it. I know why, because it's a public day off there. But excuse me. So yeah, so I got a tickle in my throat, folks. So I just came back from Disney, and it's the in the International Flower and Garden Festival, and I made the joke that the makers of Allegra and Zyrtec D should have a stand there because it's a killer.
Yeah.
Because you can walk around the world at Epcot drinking around the world, and last thing you want to be doing is sneezing every 10 minutes as your drink comes out of your nose. And they're not – listen, we went to Mexico. I got this blackberry margarita.
Nice.
Right, with – I wasn't sure what kind of tequila, but it was $26 for this thing.
Sure.
Right?
Welcome to Disney. Yeah.
Yeah. Last thing I needed is thinking this shooting out of my nose because I was having a hack attack because of my allergies. But anyways. So, folks, for this episode of Beyond the Green, we're going to kind of – as we're moving forward, we're moving back, and we sat back with Bob Ginter to kind of do a follow-up interview, some of the things he wanted to talk about that he wanted to address from his previous interview that we did with him, And as always, it's always a delight to sit with Bob. What a plethora of information he has about Morristown and the places in Morristown. So we went in and visited him, and, you know, if you hear a little giggling in the background, it's as I was interviewing, my brother was sitting next to me on the couch, and there's a little chuckle from time to time that I couldn't remove out of it. So if you hear that, that's him. Yeah. But and we'll talk about this at the end of the interview as well, that there's going to be a part three to this interview that we actually walk around town with Bob. Part of it's already been filmed, but we ran short on time when we were with him, but we're going to go out there another week or two to finish that up with him. And then you'll see that that episode in its entirety. And, you know, it's wonderful, wonderful to take a road trip with Bob for the same reasons I just mentioned, of how much information he can give you about the places in Morristown. Also, in this episode, and this has already been seen in some of the previews I put out there, that, you know, one of Bob's favorite places to eat was Cutter's on Morris Street there. But another fun fact that came out a couple weeks ago on Facebook was that Verilli's Bakery made all the pizzas for Cutter's. So if you miss Cutter's pizzas since they're closing, make your way down to Verilli's, get a couple of pie shells, some sauce, and recreate a Cutter's pizza in your own home. So with that being said, happy April, everybody. And let's start it off with a bang, and let's go see what Bob has to say.
Bob Ginter, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Peter. I've been expecting you, and I've been looking forward to you coming back.
As we have. Thanks so much for having us back.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I hope today I can provide some details equivalent in interest to what I did last time.
Absolutely.
I've spoken with some of my own relatives and my old friends, and they've seen the video, and they think you did a wonderful job.
I think
I did a pretty good job, too.
Well, you are the star of that episode. You really are. And I have to say, the feedback that we have gotten has been pretty extensive. And the fact that, you know, we get to look at the analytics of all the videos.
Of course.
You know, your video alone has gotten over 200 views in less than a month. So that's all I'm here.
That's pretty good.
That's great.
The feedback I got that everybody likes the best?
What's that?
The slate sidewalk. My cousin lives in Michigan.
Yeah.
Remarked about that. And a friend of mine who lives in Kansas City or someplace in the Midwest.
Yeah.
He grew up and his grandparents lived in Jersey City. He said they had the same slate sidewalks there. We loved them as kids.
It's the funny how these things connect people.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Because, you know, you take for granted what you have in your own backyard, and then you find out you're not the only one.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's nice to hear that. It's those little things that everybody appreciates that connects the dots for everybody else.
Exactly.
So last time we were here, we were talking about your favorite teacher.
And I kind of forgot to mention, I had three very important favorite teachers that I wanted to mention, but I got sidetracked and I started talking about other things.
But that's okay.
What happens to me.
Hey, that's why we're here. So why don't we cover them now? Go ahead.
There were three teachers that I found responsible for significantly directing my life.
Mm-hmm.
And number one was James Frendak. I met Mr. Frendak first over at Lafayette Junior High School. I'd never met him before. And he was teaching earth science.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born to be a scientist. Everything about my life since the time I was a young boy has been scientific. So I remember his first lectures as if I was still there. The lectures were on the scientific method and how you make an observation, and as part of that observation, you eventually come up with a question. Is there some kind of a functionality here? Is there some kind of an XY? You know, you form a hypothesis mm-hmm. of some kind. Is there some kind of relationship here between a couple of variables? And once you've done that, is there a functionality here? Then you develop a thought process where you test it.
Mm-hmm.
You come up with some kind of testing procedure to see if you can test, see if Y is a function of X, you know. And that's the way he explained it. He explained the scientific method and how it has to follow through. And the result of your testing can prove that your hypothesis is either correct or incorrect. You know, maybe your hypothesis is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Mr. Frendak, we had him at the high school, too. He yeah. came over and he was teaching courses at the high school. I believe yeah. I had him for, I'm trying to remember what course it might have been. Earth science again. Yeah. yeah. Earth science.
Yeah.
And you're not the only one in our, in another video that interview that we filmed. I'm not going to tell you who it was until it airs, but someone else also mentioned him.
Good, good.
That I'm glad. It was, you know, of course, they probably had him 20, 25 years after you left high school.
Perhaps.
So, you know, he taught in the district for a very long time.
Yeah. I believe he went on to be administrative, too, at some point in time.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That would have been fun, huh?
I think he was, he might have actually become principal for a short while. I can't remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe he went into admin.
Okay. Okay. So who's your next teacher?
That would have to be David Hebel.
Okay.
David Hebel was someone who influenced my entire life. He was the teacher that I had 4 years in a row for electric shock. I was thinking for my entire early years that I was going to be an electrical engineer.
Okay.
And that's where I got my start, with electric shock. In those days, shop courses were common for all of us students. And, you know, there were hazards involved. Of course, we worked with live electricity on sure. the bench with electrical circuits that, house wiring. We learned how to do house wiring.
Mm-hmm.
We learned how to do soldering and circuit boards. We learned about the scientific aspects of electronics.
Mm-hmm.
Capacitors, resistors, inductors, that type of thing. So I really enjoyed Mr. Hebel's courses.
Okay.
And he had this way of teaching that I've described it over the years as a Boolean type of teaching process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is Boolean? Boolean, Bool was the scientific investigator who developed Boolean algebra. And that's the algebra of zeros and ones, the mm-hmm. binary algebra, binary system, where you only have zero and one.
Mm-hmm.
In Boolean algebra, zero plus one is one, one plus one is one, okay. because there are no other digits.
Right.
There's no other digits at all. So you only deal with zeros and ones. Well, Mr. Hebel's grading system went by that type of process. You either got zeros or A's. A's or zeros. Ginter, you get 10 A's for that soldering job you did on the bench there. Joe Schmo, you get 100 zeros for that. And at the end of the course, and he would mark these all down in a book. That's how he did it.
Wow.
And at the end of the course, he would add up how many A's and how many zeros you had, and however they balanced out, that was your grade. But in all fairness to Mr. Hebel, I never met anybody who failed the course. But that was his method of teaching.
What was
A's and zeros.
What was his background? Do you know, was he actually like a licensed electrician or what are you
doing? I'm not certain about that, but he was very knowledgeable. All electronics processes. Computers in those days were tube-style computers. You know, the original IBM machines were tube-style.
Yeah.
He was familiar with all those processes.
Interesting. And who's the last guy? Teacher.
Last teacher would be Barbara Stewart.
Okay.
She was the one that taught us proper writing techniques.
Okay.
She was my English teacher for junior and senior year.
Okay.
Barbara Stewart. Yep.
So as English, so you graduated in 1970. So what are, literary wise, what were they giving you to read back then? Do you think there's still some of the classics that we read 20 years after?
Oh, yes, yes. Of Mice and Men, mm-hmm. Catcher in the Rye.
Sure.
We had all those classics at that time to read.
Did you have anyone that really still stands out to you?
Yeah, I'd have to think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
It's not coming off the top of my head immediately.
Yeah.
But Of Mice and Men, yes, that was one that I really, really enjoyed. Actually, I went to see that play a couple mm-hmm. of times. It was done at one of the playhouses down in Millburn. And
okay.
I went down there to see it.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a favorite. It's a tragedy, of course.
Sure.
And Shakespeare was also a favorite of mine, believe it or not.
Were you a Macbeth guy?
To a certain degree, yes. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. I can still recite some of those.
Great job.
Yeah.
Great job. So let's kind of transition now. Also, another thing that kind of fell through the cracks last time was your favorite place to eat. And now you mentioned your favorite, mine restaurant.
Right, right.
And, but then afterwards, you gave me a call.
Cutter's was a big favorite for many years.
Yeah.
That was a favorite with a lot of people. Now, during my high school days, one of my bosses there had to go to Cutter's every day after work.
Yeah.
He would stop at Cutter's every day after work because he was one of the salesmen there. He was like a mentor to me. I was a stock clerk. I kept the shelves stocked, but he would go down to Cutter's every day and he would recommend it to me. And finally, when I started dating, I said, I'm going to try Cutter's. Mm-hmm. So I took my dates there and it was good. They had a fisherman's platter that was, to this day, I have never had better anywhere.
Yeah.
I've looked and I've searched at other restaurants to see if I could find something equivalent, but never did.
Interesting.
And when I went out on a first date with somebody new, that's where we went. We went to Cutter's.
So that was your go-to, huh?
Yeah. And when I got married,
yeah,
we came from Madison. We lived in Madison for a short while.
Yeah.
Not long. Oh, a little more than a year we lived in Madison.
Okay.
So we would come all the way up to go to Cutter's for their fisherman's platter. And my now ex-wife, she enjoyed it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it one of those places when you were growing up, was it? On the weekends, it was always packed.
The library.
Oh, the library.
The library restaurant up on Horse Hill Road was a very big favorite.
Really?
Yeah. It was a bar and grill type of enterprise. And they had bar seating around, and then they had chairs and tables around the walls, and all the walls were lined with books like a library.
Mm.
Yeah, that was a popular venue too. It was up on Horse Hill Road.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of interesting, when we were talking about different things around town and places that are no longer in existence.
That's one that's gone.
Yeah,
been gone.
Is there any other? Is there any other restaurants that were really popular at the time that disappeared a long time ago?
I'm thinking of ones that disappeared, but I know Friendly's has been here a long time. It's still here.
Yeah.
That was a popular venue too.
Yeah.
We would go down to Mars. It's over by Convent Station.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the last few that still exists.
Yeah.
Friendly's
was very popular.
Oh, extremely popular. Yeah. And then you have on the other side of town, I think, you had Rod's.
Right. I was only at Rod's once. When I worked for AT&T Bell Labs, we had a luncheon there one time. A rah, 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 go team, go type of luncheon.
Yeah.
They had a lot of those type of things at AT&T when I worked there.
Yeah.
So do you think, you know, we've been now, we've sat down together twice now. Do you think when people talk about Morristown, whether it be your generation or a newer generations that are just kind of moving into the area, do you think that they have an appreciation for the footsteps for the of the people who walked these streets before them?
Oh, I'm not sure exactly what you're asking. Well, do they think about the histories? I think is what you're asking.
Yeah, do you think they think about the history? Or is it that they don't know the history, so they can't think about the history?
I'm thinking they don't really know the history that much when they move, some people that move in. Yeah. My neighbors next door have been there 15, 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know them very well. They're friends on Facebook, and we speak frequently. But did they know the history of Morristown when they moved in? I'm not sure that they actually did.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. Well, people just know it's a nice place to live, and that's all they really care about.
And it's publicized well. If you go on the internet and you search for, you know, in this area for good places to live, Morristown's always on top of the list.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you how many times I get phone calls here that's from a headhunter that's looking to buy a house.
Really?
Yeah. Probably get at least two a month.
Wow.
Yeah. Somebody searching for a home in this area.
Yeah.
Hoping to find one.
Yeah. The last thing I want to touch base on today is, do you want to talk about your best friend in high school who was kind of your protector?
I had a number of best friends, but one of my better friends was Ellis Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Ellis I met way back in, must have been second or third grade.
Mm-hmm.
I started first grade here at Alexander Hamilton.
Sure.
I don't believe that Ellis was here in first grade.
Mm-hmm.
He was second, third, maybe. And he was a black man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a scrawny little white kid. But we got along like he was, I believe he sat next to me in class. I believe that's how we met. And we started talking and we became friends all the way through. He was a great guy. Now in high school, and he was a monster of a kid back then. He was twice the size of the rest of us.
Yeah.
So when I stood next to Ellis and we were talking, we looked like the puny 98-pound weakling and the Hulk standing next to one another.
It and you were the like Hulk? That. You were the Hulk?
No, I was the 98-pound weakling, believe me. Yeah, but we were good friends. We were good friends all the way through school.
Yeah.
And as I told you during my last interview, one of the things I would do very, very much through my senior year in high school is I would get up early and go in for socializing in the cafeteria. We would sit in the cafeteria. We'd get some snacks. We'd get some coffee. And we'd supposedly do our homework and do some studying. But Ellis would come up to me and say, "Bob, I got this history. I got this this English paper I have to write."
Uh-huh.
And he was not a really good writer.
Okay.
But he was a good storyteller. He was an excellent storyteller. So one day he said, "Bob, I'm having trouble writing this down. Can you help me?" He really wanted me to do the work for him. But I said, "No, Ellis, here's what I'll do for you. I said, let's sit down and you tell me your story." And he told me the story. It was a story about boxing. And I wrote down his words. I wrote down his words as he dictated them.
Mm-hmm.
I basically became a secretary. He dictated his story to me. I wrote it all down. I took it home. I typed it up so that it was readable from my scribbling.
Sure.
I gave it to him and I said, "Now these are your words. These are not my words. I just wrote down what you said. Copy it over in your own handwriting and turn it in. Mm-hmm. These are your words." And it was his story. He turned it in and he got a good grade on it.
That's great.
So I helped him out a little bit that along that way. And, you know, I was picked on a lot when I was in school because I was such a scrawny kid. I was sick all the time back then. Yeah. I had allergies to foods that didn't realize at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Milk allergies and things like that. And I would drink milk every day, and I was constantly sick. So I didn't gain a lot of weight back
then.
Got
it, yeah.
Even in high school, I was only about 95 pounds, literally.
Yeah.
115 when I graduated.
Yeah.
Which wasn't much for somebody, you know, graduating high school in those days. So I wasn't a jock. I was a nerd. And he and I were friends all the way through. And even after high school, I would see him downtown.
Yeah.
There were some building projects that were going on downtown on Speedwell Avenue.
Yeah.
And he was a security guard.
Okay.
And I would run into him in some of those projects. I believe it might even have been the... you know, the Hyatt Hotel, when that was built,
the headquarters?
Was going on. Headquarters Plaza. I believe I ran into him there a couple of times. And a friend, another friend of mine was a police officer, and he got assigned to work evenings at some of those projects, and he interacted with Ellis a lot. He knew Ellis. And he was the one that told me when Ellis passed away, and I was so sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Ellis died young, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it's endearing to hear your friendship together.
But he was built like Iron Mike Tyson.
Like a Tonka truck.
Oh, yeah. He was built like a rock.
So, Bob, thanks for sitting down with us again. We really appreciate it. What people will see in another episode that we will eventually got to take a ride around town together. And we're going to see some sights.
I have a number of places I'd like to show you that I've spoken about in these two videos so far that I would like to show you the access points of where we kids went.
Yeah. And that'll be in a future episode.
Okay.
So, Bob, once again, thank you so much. We appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us and taking the time sitting with us.
You're very welcome. I really look forward to these interviews.
As we do, Bob. Thank you so much.
And thank you.
All right.